people feel protective of a good food dive. A sandwich joint, a taco cart. The good ones are usually out of the way, and the regulars are always trying to keep the secret.
Number 19?
There's one in Draper, just off the freeway. It's a breakfast and lunch spot in a nondescript prefab building. They have patty melts and Reubens, 7 kinds of cheeseburgers, killer tater tots, and they're about 30 paces outside the state prison. We found out about this. How did we find out about this place?
I researched it online, and I found it on the corrections facility website.
It's KUER's Kelsey Moore. She's the filmmaker who creates our Radio West short films. This is More to Say, by the way. I'm Doug Fabrizio. The place we're talking about is called Serving Time Cafe. The pun is very much intended. The menu is full of puns like these. And the joint, that pun is intended too, is run almost entirely by female inmates. Kelsey spent a lot of time there lately and made a short film about it. And welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
So I guess let's start with, what is it that, so you found out about it online. What made you want to make a film about it?
I guess in a way I like to challenge myself when I'm trying to think of a new story to tell, and I don't personally know anybody that's been in prison. I mean, I was definitely sort of, when I walked in there, I felt very much like the little white girl that doesn't know anything about the world. So, you know, going into it, I was intentionally looking for something that would sort of challenge me in terms of getting used to or familiar with a people that I don't know and that are pretty foreign to me. And in a way, I also kind of wanted to dispel any preconceived ideas I had about them, and definitely preconceived ideas other people might have about inmates.
Yeah. Filmmaking is personal in that sense for you. It seems like you're often challenging yourself. I get that sense when we talk sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, the point of any film that I like to do is to create empathy.
Okay, so let's talk logistics. Serving time is not, it's not inside the actual prison, but it's on prison property, and it's not easy to just pull out a camera and shoot. Talk about the complications. It's not easy.
God, yeah. They made it very challenging. I mean, we had really great people helping us get access, but I mean, the first time I went there, I figured I had permission to film anywhere. I was filming inside, and then I was like, well, I need my exterior shot now, so I'll go outside. And I am aware there's like cars patrolling and stuff. You know, I was kind of aware of me being in that spot with my camera.
Like every 10 minutes one drives by.
Yeah, or probably every 5 minutes. Yeah. We had to prepare every time I filmed literally anywhere, because they are protective of, when you're filming outside of the fence, I guess how long you hold that shot for determines maybe how well someone could look at that and maybe break in. I don't know.
Yeah, they're rough.
Yeah.
Who gets to work at the cafe? How does it work?
The highest or most well-behaved women get there. So they have to be on the highest like level of clearance. And so the women that are in the cafe, it's really hard for Carolyn, the manager, to find any women to get there, because they have to have a date. So they have to be, their release date has to be on the horizon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so they're already on the exit out. So that's why it's hard. They have, they don't have a retention rate in the sense that they're all about to leave. That's why they're there. And, yeah, so they have to be, I guess they're the best, your model prison inmates.
It was interesting when we were talking to them that it seems like all of them talked about what a refuge that cafe was and how excited they were every morning to just wait for those gates to open up. And we see it in the film and get out for a time.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't go into it. I don't think any of us went into going into those interviews with the women thinking that this would be a commercial for the cafe.
Yeah.
But like, if you're staying true to how what it represents for them, it really is a refuge. And it's sort of in a way turned into a commercial for the cafe, because there is nothing bad that they could say about it. Like the first thing that we opened the doc with was Nicole talking about how much she gets paid, which is $1.75.
Right.
Now, if you're asking me, that is probably slave labor. But you know, we couldn't get them to say much more other than that. I mean, I don't think we were prying for anything negative, but they didn't have anything negative to say. It really is the best thing that happens to them in the prison.
Tell us about Nicole.
Nicole's in prison for a really minor offense. If she was in California, she wouldn't even be in prison.
So 7 years ago, I got a possession for the intent to distribute of OxyContin. I was caught with 100 of them. So I originally did 15 months at Utah State Prison for that. I got out, was clean and sober for 21 years, and I started selling weed. I got caught by my parole officer selling marijuana. My almost 18-year-old daughter was with me, so I got possession with the intent to distribute of marijuana and a child endangerment because I had her in a position that I shouldn't have as a mother. So, yeah. So now she's 18. And
all of them that we talked to were honest. Just like, this is where I am. This is what's going on. I'm completely vulnerable at this point. So I'm stripping away all the pretensions, and here it is. Here's who I am.
That surprised me, actually.
Me too.
Yeah. It was so clear to me that I was not them and they were not me. Yeah. And but bridging the gap, I mean, you kind of have to do that. As soon as you walk into a space with a camera, there are very quick things that I do, and maybe without thinking, you know, that to try and distill any barriers between us. Yeah. Or to break any barriers between us, yeah. But they made it so easy.
There's this moment in the film, I think for me, I guess it was almost the most powerful yet the most subtle moment in the film. And it has to do with one of the rules, which is the inmates, they can't touch anyone.
I think it's more difficult to not be able to hug and kiss my son than it is my husband. Because he can, you know, my husband can just blow me kisses, but my son, he's the one that wants to hug me, you know what I mean? Oh, of course, I want to hug him too, but it's difficult, for sure. We're not allowed to touch because it's a security issue. I can't touch anybody that comes in here. It's not just family members, and it's, you know, passing of drugs or contraband or cigarettes or anything like that. So I'm not allowed to touch anybody, so. But of course, my family's the hardest not to be able to.
That day she told me that her family was coming in, and it's funny, I was rewatching the film actually just the other day, and it's funny, in the moment I knew what was happening, so I was very on my guard about getting a bunch of shots because I knew that it might be important for the film. On reflection, as we were editing it, you know, it was more sad for me or poignant for me when we were editing, and it really is just kind of puts a knife in you a little bit. Just
it does, because she's standing there looking out over that counter into the dining area.
And you know, every other time I was filming her, she kind of had a hard face on. That moment, she's soft. She just was mushy, you know, like there's kind of a moment, I think we put it in there, where she puts her hand on her face. Yeah. And she was just, it's her family.
Let's talk about Rose. I loved Rose. She was so honest too, and so full of energy and just chatty. She was great.
I love her. Automatically, she was the most warm, the most friendly. She's so giving. You look at her and you think, how could this person be in prison?
I self-medicate on a drug that's called methamphetamines. And for some reason, with my chemical balance, it makes me feel more confident in front of people. And but I never really gave myself a chance to like just push through those weird, uncomfortable feelings. Everybody feels it. When you go to work your first day, it's like your first day at school. Everybody's in. And I felt like I needed that drug to feel more confident and numb the anxiety and just go through it. And eventually I end up getting pulled over, you know, and I've got meth in my purse when I go to hand my driver's license. So
honesty also for her. And I think the thing that came out to me when we were talking to her was she owns it, why she was there. She talked about she blew it, but also how incredibly proud she was of the food she was making.
I've learned how to make everything from scratch. Everything's made from scratch, from the frostings to the ingredients in the batter. It's delicious. We've got the chocolate chip cookies, the butterscotch, and our famous macadamia. white chocolate chip cookies.
I can imagine if you're in a very isolated, cement-walled sort of place, prison. And I don't know exactly what it is, but, you know, on reflection with Rose, I imagine it's just any sort of creativity that she can do is probably really important.
Fruit toppings. And you just can't buy a bag of fruit out of the frozen food aisle and put it on there, defrost and put it on. You actually have to put sugar and stuff to thicken it. I don't want to give the secret away. Should I give the secret away? No. But you put other ingredients to make it thick and syrupy. And I'm going to rule the world.
So here's the thing about Rose, and like you lucked out entirely, I have to say, in this, because Rose was about to go home, and so we could sort of film that little arc of this part of the story. Talk a little bit about that.
That was probably my favorite thing I filmed, actually, and it was the quickest. I mean, it went by in 15 minutes. I had to wait outside. For I think it was about 20 minutes before she came out, and it was raining, but there were, I think, about 12 other women that left that day. So I wasn't filming them, obviously, but I was watching it, and she was the last one to come out. So before Rose came out, which was this beautiful climactic moment for all of us, I was also watching 12 other women experience the same thing, and it was just, I've never experienced anything like that. It was really cool.
Bye, Lance. He said he'd come.
Can't have her back.
Oh. Now we get to hug the ones we love so much.
When she leaves, when she gets out of prison, the first place she goes is the cafe.
Isn't that cool?
You want to taste one that Auntie Rosie made? I made these. You want to taste one?
You know, a thing that I wish I had filmed a little better was her interaction with Nicole, saying goodbye to Nicole. The irony now that they can't touch each other, because they could before, they're like inmates together, you can touch your inmates. But now they're across the table, they're close, you know, but they can't touch, and this goodbye, you know, they sort of did a fake French kiss, she said, and yeah. Nicole mouths to her, I love you. And I mean, that kind of said it all.
You get a sense of her hope and her optimism for life after prison. What do we know about where she is now?
Well, I emailed her the film, and she was the only one that I could email. I mean, I emailed the other inmates, their families, but she responded right away and loved it. You know, I think it's still hard for her. She didn't, you know, tell me much. I know that she had high hopes to be going. She had a job lined up, and, you know, she had a treatment plan all worked out, you know, for the day she exited, what would happen at every single minute and hour of the day, and what would she, how would she react to that? Because, I mean, she's a meth addict, and even though she's gone through rehab, I don't know what that's like, but I imagine it's still really, really hard. So I'm still hoping to keep in touch with her, and I really hope things work out for her.
Kelsey, thanks.
Thank you.
How's the food?
Oh my gosh, it was so good. I mean, I'm a vegetarian, okay, so I didn't eat the burgers. Yeah. I only ate the
sweets. Well, they have other stuff.
It is really good. They don't care how fat they're going to make you, so they make them really good.
More to Say is a production of KUER News. You can find Kelsey's film Serving Time at films.radiowest.org or in our show notes at KUER.org. This episode was produced by Tim Slover and Lee Hale, music from Poddington Bear and George Kamel. Doug Fabrizio is our host. You can hear him every weekday on Radio West. Listen on KUER or find it in your podcast app. And while you're doing that, rate this show. Tell us what you think, and thanks.